Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. Pray with me. Holy One, it's the little things that show your love that are the building blocks for a household of thanksgiving. Together, let us build a house where prophets speak, where words are strong and true, where all God's children dare to seek and dream God's reign anew. Let us build a house together, God, where love is found in water, wine, and wheat, a banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Between the words that are said and that the words that are heard, may your word of life for us be known today. Amen. I've stayed curious about the little things this week that make up a household of thanksgiving. It feels like an image that we could fill with lots of little things. And how do we make room to be grateful for others? It seems easy sometimes to be grateful and full of thanksgiving when you're in your own space all alone and you're not bumping up against other people's needs and wants. So I guess the first invitation for us this morning is to make room for others. And how do we do that? Well, I've been really working on stopping saying, "I'm so busy," when people ask me how I'm doing. And instead, I've been referring to it as being full. As in thankful. I am thankful for a full day sounds different than for a busy day. It's like looking at the cup half empty versus half full. And I don't know about all of you, but it sure has been a very full week. A week with not just little pinches, but some pretty major upsets. With the devastating one-year anniversary since the heightened conflict in Israel and Palestine, with Iran's missile response, the burning of a Canadian flag at an anti-Israel demonstration in Vancouver, the Hurricane Milton making landfall in Florida, with torrential rainfall, raging winds, after they had already experienced tornadoes. And closer to home, we're holding friends and family members and neighbors just gutted by cancer diagnoses, or holding them in the throes of grief, or others who are weary or exhausted or lonely or worrying about the unknown. And in the midst of that, there was a wedding here on Saturday. There were sounds of the children's chorus and the choir preparing for today on Thursday. There was a week full of sunshine, and many, many people witnessed the beauty of the northern lights on Thursday night. The small things and the good things. And if we're talking about small things, then it invites us to simplify. Thanksgiving sounds a lot to me like the words, thank you. Thanksgiving doesn't have to be big, fancy meals with all the fixings. It doesn't even have to be a beautifully sung grace with instruments and harmony and actions. It doesn't have to be gifts or cards or extravagant gestures. It can simply be two words, thank you. I wonder if you've said them lately. I wonder if you've received them lately. This week, I was at a gathering of United Church ministers from across the church, and one of my colleagues brought a handful of pocket-sized Jesuses, and she hid them all over the place where we were, in where we would kind of notice them when we were least expecting it. Whenever we found one, it simply reminded us that Jesus was with us. A small thing, and yet something I was so thankful for a friend to remind me that Jesus is with me in the big adventures in life, the not so pleasant ones, and the every day, every drive, every task in between. Seeing those little Jesuses all around reminded me again and again that it's the little things that are important. And then I was reading Michael J. Fox's autobiography called No Time Like the Future, in which he told a story about recovering from spinal surgery when they removed a large tumor and he had to learn to walk again, which was difficult because he also has Parkinson's and it was affecting his balance and his gait. But he was telling the story of one of his aides and how his aide took great care of him during recovery, but there was one particular instance where Michael was attempting to walk across a room and his feet started moving faster than the rest of his body, and he started to stumble and felt like he was going down, but his aide was there beside him and just put his arm out, not to catch Michael, but to allow him to catch himself. The aide just put his arm strong and sturdy beside Michael so that Michael could reach out and grab a hold and steady himself. And Michael J. Fox was so thankful for that one action, that gift, to be able to catch himself, to steady himself, to help himself. A small thing that makes all the difference. Which reminded me of today's scriptures, particularly the Leviticus one where folks are instructed to not harvest right up to the edges of the field, but to leave the outer crops and not to go back and collect the grapes that have fallen to the ground during collection, but to leave them there, both the crops on the edges and the fallen grapes, for the poor and the alien, the foreigner, to leave them for those who are less fortunate so that they can go and help themselves. It's a small thing, but it's something that allows those in need to do it for themselves. It's not a handout, but a hand up. And in the Deuteronomy lesson, the farmers are instructed to set aside a third of their harvest for those who are in need. Christine Pohl, in her book, Making Room, writes, "The Old Testament legacy of hospitality is instructive for us. First, the household into which a stranger was welcomed was the center of both social and family activity. Second, even in the earliest part of the tradition, care for strangers went beyond the household. It involved community responsibility and provision, and it depended on legislation, as well as generous individual responses." Our scripture lessons today are the legislation inviting all farmers to share what they have with those who don't. The abundance of goodness that God gives to us was never intended for us individually. It has always been for us to share. Hospitality is about sharing what we have, and it's okay if it's in little ways. Most of us don't have the means to solve all of the problems of hunger or homelessness or the things that feel giant or overwhelming, but we can act in small and impactful ways. If we do this, together we will build a household of thanksgiving. And I wonder where we could start. Perhaps first humanizing those who are in need, which can be as simple as making eye contact when we feel uncomfortable. We can recognize in the other our own insecurities, our own vulnerabilities and emotions, and know that we're not alone in that. You're seen differently when you make eye contact with someone. I could make you practice it right now, but I know you're uncomfortable even for me to think about inviting you to turn and stare at each other for less than a minute, right? There's something vulnerable about it. But when people first begin to fall in love, you'll notice they spend a little bit more time looking into each other's eyes. But the more distant we get from each other, we can stop that practice. So there's an invitation just to gaze around your table differently this afternoon. But that's just one place to start. Then we could work on knowing someone else's names, right? What would that be like? And if you think you already know so much about someone, I spent a week with a friend who I have known for a decade, and I learned like 15 things I didn't know about her in that time. So it's not even just the stranger that we might not know. It's the people we might have close to us and never ask them questions that might lead to knowing something different. I wonder if you know the middle name of your best friend or your neighbors or the people you see every day at work. Do you know if they like their name or not? Or if they wish they could have been named something else and spent their childhood pretending that they were not their name? So, eye contact, learning a name, and another practice which I've found very helpful in my life lately is, what if we gave another person positive regard? What if we, when something happened in the day and we were frustrated or wishing it had gone differently, what would it look like if we assumed that they were trying their best, that they were offering the best that they could? Would it change how we react or not? It has changed the way I react. What if we didn't assume that people were intending to hurt us or forget us or neglect us, that they were trying their best? One moment at a time, could we give someone the benefit of the doubt before we think the worst? And I wonder if that extends to the company you might have today, whether they're late or early, if they're trying their best to get there or not. Those three things, eye contact, knowing someone's name, and giving them the benefit of the doubt, they feel like practices where a household where love can be found is, that help us try our best to be less judgmental, less prejudiced, less thinking that we know each other, that we know the most. Practices that build a household of thanksgiving, of restoration. One action, one small thing, one moment at a time. I wonder if we will know when restoration comes. Will it feel big and dramatic like summer rain? Will it feel joyful and overwhelming like an end of war parade? Maybe, says Reverend Sarah Speed in her poem Pocket Size Moments. But then she asks us, will restoration be small? Will it be pocket-sized moments like wishing on stars, the sun through the curtains, or lightning bugs in the yard? Maybe. I don't know how God will restore the world, just like I don't know how to make the summer rain. But I do know how to say I'm sorry. I do know how to love with all of me. I do know how to say thank you. And I know how to say this cup is for you. And I know how to taste grace in grape juice. So on the off chance that restoration will be small, pocket-sized moments of love for all. So I will bake bread and save a seat for you. And I will say I'm sorry and say I love you too. And I will plant gardens and look for fireflies. And I will say prayers on shooting stars at night. And when the sun shines through my curtain windows, remind me to open them wide, for I would hate to miss God's parade these holy, ordinary days. The Bible tells us that with God, all things are possible, that restoration is possible in relationship one-on-one and in the whole world itself. There have always been tragedies and hardship and homelessness and people who are hungry, and there are no easy solutions. It is not a straight line, one and done. The earlier church would have felt much the same way we feel today, frustrated and tired and sad, but also hopeful and trusting that their small efforts of hospitality were not in vain, that people could have a safe place to land and learn to help themselves, trusting that with God's guidance, goodness and love will prevail. With grateful hearts on this day, with an invitation to small actions that make a huge difference, we can give thanks for all those pocket-sized moments of love And may we be bringers and sharers and doers of pocket-sized moments of love this Thanksgiving with a grateful heart. May it be so. Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.